We want to spend a few minutes now on ketamine, the powerful sedative normally used in hospitals, but increasingly used by EMTs called in by police to sedate suspects. In Colorado, there were 902 requests between 2018 and 19, an increase of 72%. In Minneapolis, use went from 2 police incidents in 2010 to 62 in 2017. And in a 4-day period in August of 2019 in Aurora, Colorado, 23-year-old Elijah McClain and 25-year-old Elijah McKnight were both given doses in 2 separate incidents with police. McClain went into cardiac arrest and died a few days later. McKnight was hospitalized on life support but survived. Now Aurora's city council is considering banning ketamine for law enforcement until an investigation into McClain's death is completed. Video footage of both incidents shows that neither was resisting when the ketamine was administered. McKnight actually said to a paramedic, "I'm cooperating," and a man answered, "You are, man, and we appreciate that." In Minnesota, where a study shows that 57% of people who got ketamine in 2017 for agitation ended up on life support, a former paramedic recently filed a whistleblower lawsuit claiming that police pressured him to administer ketamine when he thought suspects could be talked down instead. And the American Society of Anesthesiologists issued a statement saying they firmly oppose the use of ketamine or any other sedative hypnotic agent to chemically incapacitate someone for law enforcement purposes and not for a legitimate medical reason. Dr. Mary Dale Peterson is president of the American Society of Anesthesiologists, also an adjunct professor at Texas A&M University. Dr. Peterson, jump right in. Why your opposition?
Well, I think there needs to be a statement made that ketamine is a powerful anesthetic, especially in the dosages that we're seeing used in these situations. And with every anesthetic, there can be dangerous complications, as we have seen. And so really, when ketamine is used, it should be used for strictly medical reasons. And there are some of those medical reasons where ketamine can be useful in the pre-hospital setting.
Pre-hospital setting, you mean out in the field. What are those?
Well, anytime an EMT is called to a scene to assess somebody, so it could be in a car accident, could be even in the home, somebody having a seizure, any of those instances when you might consider using ketamine would be in fairly limited circumstances. It can be used in trauma patients that have severe fractures in small dosages to give some pain relief until they can get to the hospital. It can also facilitate putting a breathing tube in for transporting to a hospital facility. And there may be very rare circumstances where a person is in a delirious state where they are at imminent harm of hurting themselves or others, but those should be rare.
Talk about the delirious state, because there is something called excited delirium, and many police are using that as their explanation for why they felt they had to use this. In Colorado, where McClain and McKnight were given the drug, police have to call for a waiver. They have to do that in order to call the EMTs to give the ketamine. And to do that, they have to diagnose the person with excited delirium. What is that?
Well, first of all, a police officer is not trained to diagnose delirium, excited delirium or otherwise. That really should be the role of the medical personnel. So there needs to be that, you know, really evaluating the person before administering any kind of drugs. There is some controversy in the medical community over the terminology of excited delirium. We certainly know that there are certain drugs that can cause delirium. I don't think the 2 cases that you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, that those individuals exhibited that, though.
Yeah, it seems as if this phrase is being used so much that people are saying that, you know, someone who's just upset because they suddenly find themselves, you know, on the ground being arrested by police, that is not excited delirium. That's just being upset, and that phrase is being misused. And I'm going to mention something only because I'm sure there are other people who have had ketamine in a hospital situation, as I had. I had a surgery once on a near severed thumb, very, very painful. And the last thing I remember is the anesthesiologist telling me, "I've got something for you," before I went in. And I believe it was ketamine. And as soon as he administered it through an IV line, it was an actual beautiful feeling. So people who may have also had that experience in a hospital, why is not that the experience that obviously we're seeing people who are suspects have out on the street?
Ketamine is an interesting drug. It's called a dissociative anesthetic, and it works differently than some of our other anesthetic agents. And I think one of the differences is that the dosages being used is significantly higher than in some of these cases than what we would use in your situation that you experienced. And then every person is different in how they experience mm-hmm. drug. About 20% of people will have hallucinations or bad reactions when they wake up to ketamine. Sometimes if we're giving it, we'll give some other drugs along with ketamine that really lessen that chance of bad hallucinations. Mm-hmm. But ketamine has broad effects on the respiratory system, the cardiac system. You have to understand all the pros and cons of giving ketamine and in the correct dosages and with monitoring and really having somebody there that can be available and ready to step in as somebody stops breathing or becomes hypoxic or their blood pressure rises or the heart rate goes up too fast.
Or as the EMT who was filing a lawsuit said, Joseph Baker, he pointed out it could be low blood sugar. It could be, you know, a diabetic who's hallucinating because they have low blood sugar. It could be a number of things, and administering the ketamine could cause problems. And we should say that in the case of Elijah McClain, he only weighed 143 pounds, and he was given a dose for a 200-pound man.
Yes. You know, they're pretty large doses. And I know it's difficult in the field to perhaps estimate weights, but I think that's why it's really important that as much of an evaluation can be done by people with medical training. And it's just as that paramedic said, people can have behavioral disturbances for a lot of different reasons. People, like you said, that become hypoglycemic. There are other electrolyte abnormalities that can make people act very unusual, and you really need to get to the root cause of that situation.
What would you say to police who say we're facing far more people who are mentally ill, who might be on drugs and are therefore, you know, as the saying goes, they're super strong, they're struggling. We're not sure if they're going to harm themselves or a first responder, an EMT.
Well, I sympathize with that because I think we do have really a mental health crisis in the United States. That's why we need more crisis intervention teams and more training of police officers in behavioral health. But I think that to ask an EMT to give ketamine as a chemical restraint when the person is already restrained is inappropriate.
What would you like to see happen? Because there's no national standard.
Well, I think that states that have these ketamine waiver programs should be reviewing them with their medical directors. We definitely should be looking at what the complication rates are and how we can avoid those. That's any kind of continuous quality improvement that, you know, any medical system of care should have. So I think any time it's been given in the field, those cases should be reviewed. They should be scrutinized and overseen.
Would you like to see it withdrawn entirely for strictly law enforcement purposes? Your statement seems to say that. In other words, the suspect who's on the ground and in handcuffs but is, you know, still agitated, it sounds like you're saying that just shouldn't be used for that.
That is exactly right. So there are legitimate medical reasons for giving ketamine in the field. In trauma where patients have lost a lot of blood, it may be safer to give a small dose of ketamine for pain relief than other drugs like morphine. And that may help, you know, get somebody with multiple fractures stabilized into the hospital. But it is about doing it for the right reasons, in the right dosages, with monitoring and well-trained personnel under medical direction, but not just for law enforcement purposes. That is correct.
That's Dr. Mary Dale Peterson, president of the American Society of Anesthesiologists, which released a statement opposing the use of ketamine, as you just heard, as a tool of law enforcement, as it's increasing across the country. Dr. Peterson, thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Appreciate the opportunity.